Oilers. We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston, and tonight I'm joined by the one and only, my good friend Taylor, the pup to my Texans. How are you doing tonight, man?
The pup to your Texans?
Oh, did you not know about this Texans pup thing?
Well, wait, I think you've told me about it. Hold on. Isn't it that it was advertised on the Twitter account for Positivity?
Yes.
Yes. And it was done by Kroger?
I don't know. I don't know who sponsored this puppy mill animal. This sick, inbred, disfigured puppy mill animal.
What? What is going on?
I hate this dog.
How can you hate a dog?
I hate this Texans pup.
Let me see. Oh, look how cute he is.
He's not cute at all.
What are you talking about? It's a lab.
No, it's not a lab.
What is it then?
It's one of Satan's spawns is what it is.
One of Satan's spawns. If Satan's spawns look like that, I'm going to hell.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I'll be up there with the angels then. I can't even look at that dog.
What do the angels look like? Are they cats? Nobody wants to go.
I hope not.
Yeah, exactly. If you're saying that's in hell.
No,
yeah.
No. Hell is a giant litter box.
Yeah, no.
There are no cats in heaven.
That is not in a litter box. Kirby is the sweetest thing I've ever seen.
What I'm saying, though, is like Texans pup is like he's like an animorph, you know? He's like a demonic animorph. It's like a demon that transfigured himself into a little puppy. That's not a dog.
So you're saying it's like the movie Fluke?
Sure.
Yes. You know, where the guys drive side by side on the street, and then one of them crashes, he dies, his spirit ends up in a dog. That dog is then adopted by a family. His family, oh my God, it's so emotional, and it's so awful all at once.
Is this Disney Channel stuff?
No, I actually don't think this was made by Disney. I don't know, it's like 8% on Rotten Tomatoes. I watched it as a child, and I was scarred after seeing the guys side by side on the road and one dying. It never sat well with me. And it was like a revenge thing. I don't know, man. I didn't like it.
Yeah, well, and you probably rented it too, or your parents bought you Fluke as well. Like, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, we'll give this a try tonight. You'd actually go out your way to own Fluke or watch it, you know?
Well, yeah, it's because I always had to push the limit because I couldn't get PG-13. I always had to get PG. So that's why I always tried to make hardcore film.
Yeah, get that G out of here. That's for women and children and cowards, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Women, children, cowards, rated G. That's where you belong.
Yeah, the G stands for girls.
Wait, no, unless it's Pixar. Never mind. I'm not saying that anymore. I don't think there's Pixar rated PG. I think Good Dinosaur is, and that's a terrible movie.
Oh, really?
Gee, yeah, Pixar. Sorry, man.
So last night, the Houston Texans played the Carolina Panthers. It was Davis Mills' first start. The Texans ran like an offense that was designed to make sure he didn't die. They're like, all right, we can't kill him tonight. And so it was a lot of screen passes and runs to nowhere. And they opened up the offense a little bit in the second half, and they had that one touchdown drive. And then the Panthers are just like, oh, we're going to blitz him every play now if they actually try to throw the ball. And he was hit 9 times and sacked 4 times, and he still managed to make it out alive. And really, the Texans' entire passing attack right now is Brandon Cooks. He had like 8 catches last night and was the entirety of their passing attack too. And defensively, it was really bad. They didn't stop Carolina once in the second half. And they had some problems in the first half. Once Christian McCaffrey went down, from a Carolina perspective, like they didn't have that source of easy offense. And it took them a little while to find their footing. And then they had 2 touchdown drives and 2 field goals. And their only stop was because the game was over, because they had to kneel the clock out. But it was pretty much a game where they were trying not to get embarrassed on Thursday Night Football. And they did that. But it ended up being like a very, you know, subdued and not raucous affair. Very kind of boring and about what you expected, you know.
It was an awful game. I don't know what the hell I was watching out there. You know, I talk about one of the most boring games of all time. Let's put that on the chart there. It's got to be easily top 10 for me. I don't know. What the hell was that? And you know what? I'm going to give the Texans benefit of the doubt. Who knew that Tyrod was so great? Who knew that he was the truth, the savior, and everything that the Houston Texans needed in the world? But now you're stuck with this guy.
And this guy.
This guy doesn't know what he's doing. It looks awful to watch.
Did you see that scramble he had?
No. He looks like... Who am I thinking
of? He looks
of?
Like Mike Glennon.
It's exactly
he who looks he looks like. But he looks like Mike Glennon's from the Midwest, but Davis Mills is Californian, you know? He's like Jared Goff, Mike Glennon.
So it's like the both the wannabe Matthew Stafford and the wannabe Jared Goff?
Imagine being wannabe Jared Goff.
Exactly. That's what you have on the Texans. And
no, he's like, I can't think of the only player I could compare him to at all was Zach Mettenberger. But at least like Zach Mettenberger had like some arm strength, you know? He's like a smarter version of Zach Mettenberger, but with the worse arm.
I would agree with that because at least Mettenberger, he had the stockiness to him to where he could just bomb it.
Yeah. He didn't know where it was going, but he would do it. He had a cool mustache.
Yeah, it's all about the mustache. And when it comes to though this Texans team, Matt, they were fun. We had a shot.
Nobody believes in us.
But now it's boring to where you're just going to pretty much stop the run and just force him to throw the ball downfield. That's all you're pretty much going to, because he's just going to dump it off the entire time. I mean, 168 yards. What do I do with that?
Yeah, he was at 3 yards an attempt in the first half, and he climbed up to 5.
And, man, if you have nothing to lose, why don't you just, like, bombing it downfield?
Well, they're trying not to kill him, you know? I hope, just, like, like David Coley said in the press conference that, you know, we gave him a limited package, and he ended up being able to do a lot more than we thought, so we're going to open up the playbook some more. And like we do with Tyrod, but Tyrod has athleticism. You can't run the same playbook with Tyrod and Davis Mills. But like, I do hope we at least like see an actual NFL offense for Mills sometimes this year, just so you can't glitter that turret up at all. And they make sure they draft a quarterback sometime in the first round next year.
So do you at least, and this is where with Texas, maybe we kind of talked about at the beginning of the year, Tyrod was going to ruin your chance at the number one.
Maybe. I still think they're like a 4-1 team with him.
Whoa. From what I was seeing, man.
Oh, no. Wait. No, I mean, like, we were a Super Bowl contender with him at quarterback. Who am I?
I'm flopping right now. This team now is easily top 3 pick.
And not only that, they're like easily one of the most boring teams in the league now, too.
It's awful now to watch. I got nothing. Everyone's like, look at Mark Ingram. Look at David Johnson. Look at these guys, resurgence. Now we got nothing.
I do kind of like Mark Ingram, though, this year. So he's averaging 0.8 yards before contact and like 2.2 yards after contact because they can't block from it all. And so he's just running through tackles and pretty much doing everything on his own. And that's kind of the problem with the offense, too, in the Mills. It's they can't run block at all. And they have all these guys that they signed, all these guys they drafted early, all these trades that they made, and they still can't run block. And they're trying to be an outside zone team. They can't block it. And so hopefully they just start running like double, like hip-to-hip double teams and just move the first level. But the run game's awful. So they play Buffalo next week, then New England, then Indy, then Arizona, then the Rams, then the Dolphins, who should have Tua back, then a bye week, then the Titans, than the Jets. This may be like a first overall pick, week 12 sort of game between them and the Jets.
Well, yeah, and this is probably going to – no, actually, I'm not even going to say that because I still believe that the Jets are going to be able to win some games here. So now when it comes to the Texans, I think this is going to be – this is my numero uno pick now. I just – unless – when's Tyrod supposed to come back here?
He's going to be out at least a month.
A month?
They're not going to win a game without him.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're
going to
be
what?
They're going to be probably 1-6 or 1-7 whenever a Taylor comes back.
Oh, God. Yeah, this is my number one pick here. And I think the Texans should just keep rolling with what they're doing. It's going to be awful. No one's going to want to watch. But you can watch college to see what you're going to get.
Yeah, that's. I don't know what I'm going to do, like, for me. Like, I can't watch college. I'll just watch those guys after the season's over. But I think I may just write, like, I don't know, just write film articles about the other team. Because I write this game preview, and it's, like, 3,000 words. This last one's 4,000 words. I put way too much time into it. But whenever they're, like, 1-8, I don't think I can spend, you know, a whole week writing a game preview. Like, I'm, like, pretty mentally ill, but I don't know if I'm that mentally ill to spend 4 days and 4,000 words writing about the Texans and the Titans, you know. I may just write about, like, the Titans outside zone scheme offense instead.
Are you even a fan? What are you even talking about? You're the one who believed in this team. You were telling me Super Bowl.
This is a different quarterback.
You were wearing your Houston Texans shirt. This was all about this team, and now you're saying you're not going to be able to watch them?
No. I said I don't think I'd be able to write the game preview. I'm still going to watch them every week. I'm not going to not watch them.
That doesn't make any sense to me. If you're going to watch them, you're going to write something. You're going to love that game preview like you've never loved it before. You don't just watch it and not write that game preview. You do it.
I may just write it without a video at all in it. And just like, I may just make it like 6 paragraphs instead of 25 paragraphs.
Taking the lazy way out.
I'll send you the last one. You can read it and be like, is this worth doing when the Texans are 2-9, you know?
And you know what? No matter what, I'm saying yes.
God.
So you didn't have to say, I mean, actually, that, just say yes.
That makes me feel better. Yeah, say yeah. I'm going to send it to you and just say yes. Be like, keep doing this. This is really good.
Yeah, okay. If you want that positive momentum,
yeah,
I got you.
It's all about lifting each other up. That's what friends are for.
Exactly. That's what friends are for.
So I got a new segment here. You ready? We're going to play best 0-2 team and worst 2-0 team.
Ooh.
So the 0-2 teams are the New York Jets, who lost to the Panthers and the Patriots, the Colts, who lost to the Rams, and they lost to the Seahawks, the Jaguars, who lost to the Texans and the Broncos, the Giants, who lost to Washington, and then there's a game where Saquon couldn't run at all. They lost to Washington, and they lost to Denver. I forgot how good the Broncos are. We have the Vikings, who lost to Cincinnati in an overtime game, and they lost to the Cardinals because they missed a field goal. We have the Lions, who got trounced by both Green Bay and by San Francisco. We have the Falcons, who got trounced by the Eagles and the Bucks, and those are the 0-2 teams we have. We have the Jets, the Colts, the Jaguars, the Giants, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Falcons. Who's the best 0-2 team?
It's going to come as a little bit of a surprise here because I'm still not going to choose Minnesota because they're too obvious. I want to pick the New York Giants on this. And it's just because watching the last game against Washington, that wasn't Danny Dimes' fault.
No.
No, that was. So even with the deep balls that I watched, I liked what I saw. And Saquon's doing absolutely nothing right now. And yet for me, last game, I don't know what's going on with Washington's defense a little bit, but they're giving up a lot of points.
Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about it in like 25 minutes. So keep on listening and hit that, smash that like button, pound that retweet button. You know what you should do? Subscribe.
Do it.
That's a great idea.
Subscribe again, even if you think you didn't do it again. But I'm going to say the Giants here. And it's because of last game. It was just so weird to watch because Danny Dimes has just got to be building that confidence because he was like, no, that guy screwed up.
I loved him in those tall, like those long blue socks he had on. He looked like he was 8 feet tall.
He looked gigantic.
Beautiful. Yeah. And he's their best running back again for the second year in a row. Like they can't run the ball at all with their running backs. And so he's having to do everything. And then, I mean, he had that drop touchdown in the end zone by Slayton that maybe, like, had been 6 inches too far, but you expect a professional wide receiver to catch that.
No. It was, because if anything, I'll put it to this way. He could have dove for the ball. There could have been some type of
He should have caught it.
Yeah, like, in the end, it's, well, there's nobody around you.
That's what Slayton does, though, is he torches people and then doesn't catch at the end.
That's nice. That's a good receiver to have.
And it's, I'm really sad. We talked about Nick Gates in the preseason about how much I love him and how you should really love and cherish him and how enjoyable he is. He broke his leg and it was so bad that he may never play football again. And backing him up was Billy Price, who is a failed center at the Cincinnati Bengals. He was terrible last week. And they were just saying, like their guard play was bad in their pass protection. They were collapsed over and over again. But yeah, I mean, Jones had a good game. I'm going to go with the Vikings, though. Like, they lost that game to Cincinnati in overtime. They lost because of missed field goal to Arizona. The offense has been really good so far. But the issue, of course, is, like, they have problems pass protecting on the edges. And then their defense has been hurt again, too. You know? Like, Barr was out. Kendricks was banged up. Harrison Smith was banged up, you know, and so they already have had defensive injuries also. So I don't know. I think it's just like it's going just like last year was for them, where they start up 0-2, they lost two close games, and they get the Seahawks in week three, and the Seahawks are pretty much in their season. They lose to Seattle this week instead.
For me, I just think that even with last year, and I could be wrong, but it just seemed like that Vikings were always winning the close games.
No, and they went like 0-3 in their first four games. Well, they went 1-2 in their first three games against in one score games because they only beat Houston, but they lost to Seattle and they lost another close game. But they started off 0-3 last year.
So you think that this is just kind of a trend for them where then they're going to turn on the Jets?
That's what happened last year.
You know what?
I think they're going to win 8 games and be like, we started off at a slow start. And our defense came together in the middle of the year, and it didn't matter at all.
You know what? I just think that I got bad juju coming from this team. I don't know if I like the Minnesota Vikings this year whatsoever. But, you know, you can say what you want. I'm still going to stick with the Giants. And I still regret me picking them to win the division. I know there's something here. I know I'm not that stupid. But I'm probably.
I just hate that division also. It's funny that Minnesota has had kicking problems forever. Same thing with the Titans as well, too. Like, they'll never figure it out.
Well,
the Falcons are like that for a while until they got Kim. The Chargers are another team, always have kicker issues.
At this point, the Titans thing's a joke. I mean, they sent like 18 kickers in like 5 years.
Yeah, and their kicker is the ex-Texans kicker, Fat Randy Bullock from A&M. And he's the same guy who missed a game-winning field goal for the Bengals in week one last year and faked an injury afterwards because it was like a 30-yard field goal. And now he's the Bengals kicker. Mike Vrabel has gotten like 8 ex-Texans on that team in the last 3 years, and he's one of them.
And by the way, the Chargers seem to have an okay kicker at this point.
I guess so. I'm just saying that they notoriously have had bad kickers.
Ish. I don't think it's as bad as the Titans. Man, it's pathetic.
Well, Titans.
I would do some type of big trade to make sure I have a kicker.
A first-round pick for Justin Tucker.
Do it.
Well, it's funny because the Titans kicker week one was Michael Badgley, who was the kicker who missed all those field goals for the Chargers 2 years ago. And it's like, yeah, I guess we got to try this guy out now. Ah, he sucks too. Is there some guy who recently... you know, drove drunk, who got kicked off the team for it, that we can bring in. Maybe he can do it. He sucks too.
Gotta get another one.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous when it comes to the Tennessee Titans because it's been too long. It's been too long. Something should have been figured out by this point, and now it's just a laughing thing. It's a joke that goes around the league. I've heard rumors. I know things.
Well, at least Bullock made his game winner last week for him.
That's good. At least he's got one kick under his belt now.
That was a great game last week, too. I'm glad the Titans were able to pull that off.
Yeah, it was
and they
great.
Try to take away points from him, too. That Julio, that was a touchdown for Julio.
Yeah, it was. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And it just showed you that with Derrick Henry, he still got it, which was nice.
Yeah, and like he, well, we knew he did, but he usually like really kicks it on in October. It's like, yeah, I guess my planet needs me now. I guess I'll come down from the heavens and provide for my people.
Good God, what is it? 187?
Something like that.
Yeah, disgusting. I want that.
It was funny too when he stiff armed Quandary Diggs. He's like, it's gonna happen to me. I can't believe this is about to happen. I'll just lay here. Fine.
Just kill me, please. Don't do it too hard.
It's like, it really is like being like, you like, there's a serial killer on the loose, and like you close, like you in your car and he's behind you, like, golly, it just had to happen to me. That's how it is for every single defensive back who meets Derrick Henry stiff arm.
So it's pretty much the stiff arm, and then it's the classic freeze frame. I bet you're wondering how I got here.
Every time.
That's what it is. It's the beginning of the classic 90s television show.
What show is that from?
I think it's Wonder Years.
I don't know.
I could be wrong. Please don't yell at me. I know we have 4 million listeners, but don't yell at me. I think it's Wonder Years.
Yeah, we lost two because we've been too hot for the radio lately.
That's what it is, man. Yeah. It's because the things we've said, inappropriate.
Tamales are too fuego right now. I'm really happy for Lamar Jackson also last week.
Oh, God.
I'm glad he got that win.
Okay. All right. You know what? Okay, I'll get into the other team later on. When it comes to Lamar, though, Matt, it's the same thing. What? So do you believe that with Lamar, even though he won that game, it's still the guy that's not able to make the throws that he needs to make?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with that.
So it's
I'm still just happy for him that he finally beat them is all.
I guess that's true.
I don't feel necessarily better about the Ravens. I'm just happy they finally beat the Chiefs. And it also kind of showed a lot of the things that I was saying about the Chiefs before the season started, that this isn't like, you know, a 15-win juggernaut. You know, they have a lot of holes on their defense. I don't really think the offensive line mattered all that much at all. You know, and Mahomes is outrageous, but, you know, that's enough for them to win 12 games by default.
For me, you know what? We're going to get into them, correct?
Yeah, we're going to talk about them.
I'm going to save it.
And I have a trade preview for you. You ready?
I like it.
Nick Foles to the Indianapolis Colts.
For what?
A 7th-round pick. It doesn't matter. Who cares for what? I want Foles in Indy, and Carson's sitting there with 2 sprained ankles. You've got to be kidding me.
That's a Carson Wentz injury. Hey, what did you get? 2 sprained ankles? It's a Carson Wentz. It's like a drink at a bar that you're ordering.
I think it goes, so what are you out with? I have a sprained ankle. It's like, which one? Oh, it's both of them. Of course.
It's Carson Wentz. Okay, I got you.
That Indy game was so stupid last week. They had 2 possessions inside the 5-yard line, got 0 points. The long snapper bounced the ball off the up back for them to score another touchdown. And then Wentz was like falling down and threw it away on 4th-and-7. And that's why they weren't able to tie it at all. And then he got hurt falling away. They kicked a field goal to tie it. And on the game-winning drive, they bring Easton in, and he threw that interception at Jalen Ramsey.
So are you trying to say then, if Nick Foles goes to this team, then they are now jump-started, and they are now going to the playoffs with Nick Foles?
I don't think that at all. Imagine Carson Wentz. He gets called in Chris Ballard's office. He's like, hey, like, Easton's not cutting it. You know, you're still hurt right now. We got to make a move and get better backup quarterback. And it's going to be Nick. I bet he cries. I bet he leaves the building.
First name basis with this guy. He wanted to happen so bad.
Like, I hate it. I hate to do it to you, but it's the right thing for the team, Carson. We got to bring Nick in. I think he would quit.
No, he can't quit. That wouldn't. There's no way you could be able to quit. I mean, 2 sprained ankles, dude. What are you going to do?
No, I'm saying if Foles is in.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't think he can. I think that's psychological devastation that he cannot come back from.
It would be, okay, I'll put it this way. If they go on a game, 3-game winning streak, oh my God, it'll probably kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Not again.
That'll definitely do it.
Like, and, you know, I trashed Wentz a lot this preseason, but I do think, like, the way he, like, his body, like, everything about him, he's the perfect Colts quarterback.
I would say that.
He fits in so well there.
Yes. I would say with that blue uniform on, you're just knowing, yes, this is that guy that the Colts always wanted and needed. He's a Colt.
He's perfect there. I mean, aside from, like, you know, the football problems that he holds on the ball too long and takes too many sacks and takes too many hits and won't hit the hot route and tries to make things happen when he should. Like, when he threw the interception on that shovel pass, I could not believe it. Like, I could believe it, but it was awful. I kind of feel bad for him, though, in a way now. Like, you've got to be kidding me. You throw an interception on a shovel pass.
It's a classic. Again, you kind of called this over me where I thought that Carson would be a little bit better. He's just not the winning guy anymore to where those silly and stupid mistakes and just something outrageous is going to happen against him every single time. He's just that guy now.
Yeah, I don't know. I still can't get over that game last week. I'm still laughing about it. I'm laughing because I know.
You don't know anything.
Yeah, Julian Davenport was really good last week, too, playing right tackle, then left tackle, then back at right tackle. The only quarterback hit he gave up was because his running back ran into him in pass protection. He fell down. But he's been absolutely locked down in Indianapolis, and he's been better than Laramie Tunsil so far to start this year. And I can't wait to put together a Julian Davenport highlight reel for everybody out there as well, too. So do you want to hear the 2-0 teams? You want to give me your worst 2-0 team?
My worst? Wait, my worst 2-0?
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to do 2-0 now. So the 2-0 teams we have, Denver, who beat the Giants and the Jaguars, the Raiders, who beat the Steelers and the Ravens, the Bucks, who beat the Falcons and the Cowboys, the Rams, who beat the Bears and the Colts, and the 49ers, who beat the Lions and the Eagles, and the Cardinals, who beat the Titans and the Vikings. These are our 2-0 teams. Which one do you think is the worst?
This is a hard one for me. This is a really difficult one. I want to obviously say Raiders, but that's...
Oh, and I forgot Carolina. They're 3-0. So they don't really count necessarily, but they're undefeated.
You know what? I'm not going to count them still. I'm going to push them out. We're going to give them the 3-0. We'll talk about them next week. When it comes to... I'm going to say... Matt, I'm going to have to take the easy one. It's got to be Raiders. I got nobody else that I can truly make an argument for, and that's because 49ers are going to have some Trey Lance here coming out.
Oh, it better.
So whenever that's going to be coming, the hot fire is soon to follow. Where the Raiders, I mean, unless Derek Carr turns into the greatest quarterback of all time and he wins the MVP this year, which is completely possible so far, I just think they are the biggest phonies. It's just, I mean, it is impressive what they've done. I in this season laughing, and I hate myself. I hate them. I just don't get it.
Yeah, they're so Carr has 817 passing yards. He's like 120 yards ahead of Kyler Murray through two games to lead the league. I mean, like, their offense is good. Like, the question was how well their pass protection was going to be. It's been good so far, you know, even losing Denzel Good and everything else too. I'm going to go the 49ers with Garoppolo.
Well, with Garoppolo, yeah.
But with, like, that first half against the Eagles is awful. I mean, he missed six open throws, like wide open throws.
And you just know what he's going to do because it's not much. He's only going to make the simple throw because he can't do anything else. It's so boring to watch Jimmy Garoppolo. Isn't this his last year?
I don't know.
This has got to be. I mean, you got to be able to put Trey because you're 2-0, and I told you that this would happen, that because San Francisco has such a good team all around, that it's so hard to be able to pull him because you're winning. You're 2-0.
Yeah, you're going to win games regardless.
It's just you can easily tell instead of you playing these close games and trying to pull it out or save yourself last second, you can have a guy that can truly dominate the game.
Yeah, I mean, like, we had talked about too in the preseason, like, the thing about Lance is how they can use him in the run game. And I think it'd be like how RG3 was his rookie year. and maybe somebody similar to that. Yeah, so this is Garoppolo's pretty much last year. Next year they can cut him and save $23.6 million. And if they kept him, it would only count $2.8 million against the cap. So this is his last year there for sure.
Sure. If this is his line, they would be able to save that much. He is so gone. Oh,
the Texans are going to trade for him.
No, what are you going to know?
Nick Caserio scouted him.
That doesn't mean anything. Jimmy G is not anything special. He's just not.
I completely agree. He's like a Jared Goff sort of quarterback, you know?
Yeah.
He's a fine to below average quarterback. In the right offense, he's fine. In a bad offense, he's below average. He doesn't make his teammates better at all. But I'm ready for Garoppolo to Houston. And the Texans have 3 top 10 picks. So like, oh, we'll just use it all on defense. We have a great offensive line. We got rushing attack. We got Jimmy. We got this injection of youth that we need at defense. We're making the playoffs.
Why are you trying to jinx this? This is so awful.
I'm preparing for the worst.
No,
there's no bottom for the Texans' misery. It only gets worse, you know.
Matt, you don't put this out in the world. You can at least think positive. Usha, you can't think that you're going to go for Jimmy G when you have the first pick now. You got to be scouting quarterbacks. This is the chance.
I could also see him in Indy also next year. Like we talked about before, like they're going to have a new quarterback every year, and every year it's going to be kind of crappy, and they're going to be stuck forever. Just like, oh, let's try this guy. Oh, yeah, all right, let's just try this guy now.
Jimmy G is going to be the backup to the Oakland Raiders to Derek Carr next year.
That's not a bad idea. I think he would have too much fun there, though.
He would. But you know what's his face? He's going to love it, John Gruden. He's just going to be eating it all up. Yeah, because Mariota's
I think he's too good, though. Like, I think Garoppolo's too good for Gruden.
What do you mean he's too good for Gruden?
Like Mike Glennon is more of a Gruden backup quarterback.
So you think that Jimmy G is going to be able to get a starting job next year is what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, I think he probably will.
Oh, God, no. If you have Jimmy G, you know what you're going to get, and that's called nowhere near the playoffs.
Taylor, Andy Dalton's starting right now.
Andy Dalton's out.
I know, but he's the lockdown starter there.
Well, no, it's only because they knew he was going to be able to go out. Eventually, he was going to hurt himself. He did. So now you're going to be able to have your true one and only come in, where then Chris Collinsworth is going to start drool from the mouth. Oh, my God. Having to listen to that guy. Talk about some pain.
Hey, he just loves the game.
Oh, my God. Having to listen to the crap he says is so – I wish that I could have, like, some other option. I would take Telemundo over listening to Chris Collinsworth at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the condensed version, so I don't really have to deal with it. But that man is horny for football.
I don't even know if it's horny for
his pants are always crusted.
But Matt, he always says something.
He's like the top slice of bread. He's the top slice and the bottom slice of a loaf of bread. That's Chris Collinsworth.
I can't remember. Chris like said about one of the players. Oh yeah, he really loves spending time with his family. That's why he's making them yards. What does that mean, Chris? What do you mean that his family has anything to do with what he's doing right now?
I mean, you're almost a fully family man now, and you know it does add a lot of motivation, you know, to your life to be as good as you can and be as best, be the best you possibly can be.
I'm leaving. I'm at sign out right now. I think I'm done. You can have a good night, man. Enjoy. What the hell is the matter with you?
You know.
No, I don't know. You don't ever.
Every morning I wake up and I see my beautiful boy, and I'm like, get this bread today, I sit there on my phone for an hour and scroll through it, and then I'm like, yeah, today's already over.
What bread are you getting? You're not getting bread. There's no bread you're getting.
I'm catching that cheese, baby.
What do you mean you're catching cheese? That doesn't work. Oh,
it's all about them greenbacks, sucker.
It's not what we're doing. We're not doing that today.
Get sacks, get stacks.
There's no get sacks.
No. It's record cast, get stacks.
I'm really going to sign out right now. I don't even know who you are right now. You're a different person.
Look, I'm a family man. You know, it's different now.
I don't like this family man.
It's called an evolution to a higher level of being.
No, that's not what it's called. That is not what this is called whatsoever. This is called you just being you. I hate that.
Well, that's kind of mean. So we didn't do our picks for week one, but we did them for week two. You went 0-4. I went 1-3 because I picked the Texans against the Browns. So we're starting off strong to begin this year. But, you know, it usually takes a little while to kind of like feel things out, you know. It's understandable what happened last week. This week, we're previewing the Chargers-Chiefs. The Chiefs are 7-point favorites. Washington-Buffalo. The Bills are 8.5-point favorites. Tampa Bay-Los Angeles. The Rams are 1.5-point underdogs. And Philadelphia-Dallas. The Cowboys are 3.5-point favorites. Let's go. Let's start the show.
Yeah, woo!
Now just imagine like heavy rock music playing.
Batman.
Yeah, there we go. So the first game here, the Chiefs and the Chargers. This, like, hypothetically, this is like the type of defense that you want to run to beat the Chiefs. You know, that's what Tampa Bay used last year to beat them. They ran a lot of too high safety shells. They play more man coverage than what the Chargers typically play. But this is like a cover four, cover seven defense. They're going to keep things in front of them. They tackle pretty well in the secondary. They're not going to, you know, theoretically, they're not going to let Tyreek Hill go off for, you know, a 67-yard touchdown pass. It's be interesting to see how they use Tyreek Hill to stress the safeties to create things for, you know, Marcus Robinson and Byron Pringle, those two guys who had big plays last week, which is kind of surprising to see. But, yeah, I mean, this is kind of like what the idea is here for how the Chargers can maybe beat the Chiefs is run this too high defense that, you know, had success once against them in the Super Bowl last year. I just don't know. They just don't have like the same level of pass rush to be able to maybe pull off what Tampa pulled off last year.
All right. So the problem is that the Kansas City Chiefs just lost. And the other issue is that the Kansas City Chiefs, for me, and what I wanted to bring up that I didn't bring up beforehand, is that it seemed like kind of a cocky a-hole type of game from them where with, oh, you're going to take away Tyreek, we're not even going to look at him. We're just going to keep going to the other guys. That's all that we need, blah, blah, blah. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest. Kelce, as you can even see, is the best tight end I've ever seen.
Yeah, that play was so funny because they ran that zone blitz, and so you have a 355-pound man on the covering the hook next to him, and then he runs past him, and then once he broke that safety's tackle, That was all bets were off. And he got tackled in the end zone by that same 355-pound man. So I'm proud of Justin Ellis for running back like that.
And you know what?
You got to respect the hustle.
Okay. Nobody, who are you? I don't like this. Okay. When it comes to that, I will say he just got a little bit unlucky because Kelce's so big that he fell into the end zone. But other than that, it's like Kansas City didn't even try to look at Tyreek Hill. Or even try to get him involved, it seemed, where Patrick Mahomes, even from the snap, wasn't even looking at his way. I get it, and I get that you trust other guys. It's just not the same because Tyreek Hill, you have to try to find some way. And yeah. I think the city kind of learned that lesson, where to your point with the Chargers, I think they would have had a better chance if they were coming in where Kansas City was 2-0. Because Kansas City just lost the way they did, I'm not sure if running the same thing is going to be able to work because I think no matter what, they're going to try to get Tyreek involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's. I think it's been more like the shorter routes for them, you know? And I think the game was interesting from Kansas City's perspective just because, like, it was so funny when DeMarcus Robinson bobbled that touchdown pass. He bobbles everything. He can never just catch anything cleanly at all and Pringle that big play, too. So they got some, like, their secondary receiving options going a little bit, which we really haven't seen, you know, for the last, 2 years from there or so, too. And then they had Sammy Watkins in that Super Bowl run, but last year they didn't have somebody like that. And so, like, seeing that perspective of it was a little bit more interesting. That game reminded me a lot, though, of the Mexico City game between the Rams and Rams and the Chiefs, where it was, like, 56-49, where I had no idea what happened. All of Kansas City's pass plays, because you can't see the rest of the screen, I had no idea how guys were open. I was like, yeah, they're just, I guess, about to score again. All right. I really had no clue. And, like, same thing with Baltimore, too. It's like, yeah, Marquise Brown is just wide open in the middle of the field again. Okay. That's cool. Like, I had no idea what was going on with either team's passing game at all.
You know what? I kind of completely agree with that. I didn't even think it's not even like following it. It's because you don't see anybody else. And then whenever their quarterback is throwing the pass,
like, oh, he's wide open. How did that happen?
Yeah, it's just a guy that's just standing there. And there were so many with Hollywood Brown. It really, there was three of them that I can remember.
Yeah.
And it's just funny that you brought that up because I did notice that where it makes you wonder and question. I get that it's the highlights and everybody wants to see the offense. But I kind of want to see how the offense took place at the same time.
Yeah, I there was kind of some talk on the internet last week, like pining for the behind view, like you see a Madden. I would prefer to watch football like that. Or even give us like a sideline view where we can see the safeties.
Yeah,
let me see the safeties.
Just let me be able to see something, because I would also like to be able to see the safety in the corners follow the receivers at the same time so that you can see how both sides are able to read a play. It's better that way. I feel like people want to be able to see that because, like what we've talked about before the show even started, football is so popular, man. It's crazy.
They're like the cool girl in high school.
Well, they are because nobody else watches TV for anything else. I only have live TV because of football. If football did not exist, I would not ever have live TV.
Yeah, I agree with that. But so the Chiefs, like, there's some holes in the armor. They got, like physically, they were manhandled by Baltimore last week. Their offensive line, they gave up a bunch of tackles for loss. They can't run the football at all. Their coverage wasn't very good. And they had zero pass rush. You didn't see anything from Chris Jones at all. Frank Clark does not want to play football at all right now. Jaron Reed hasn't done anything just yet either. And, I mean, this is a bad defense this year. Like, they've always had, like, a top 10 defense. It slipped last year 16th. This is looking like a bottom five, you know, pass defense right now. And they had two interceptions that kind of changed things up too. And they can't stop the run at all whatsoever. Yeah, because Sammy Watkins slipped and fell. He got pick six.
Whatever, man. It happens.
That made me so mad.
Lamar stared him down for like 5 seconds after he fell down, man.
No, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he did. Go back and watch replay. Just Sammy Watkins is down. Lamar is still staring.
No.
Don't even. I saw it.
He was down before the ball was out.
No, he... Oh, my God.
But, yeah. And then, I mean, I just don't... I mean, this Chiefs team is based around the transcendence they have on offense with Hill, Mahomes, Kelce, and, you know, a great offensive scheme that's able to get those guys open. But the rest of the team's not very good this year at all.
You know, I'm only going to give you a day in the sun here when it comes to talking smack about them. Because without, what's his name, Hank Clair.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up Jerick McKinnon fantasy here tonight. I'm going to try to.
That's good. You should. But when it comes to him, he's the only reason why. I mean, he fumbled the ball whenever Kansas City was going to win the game in the end. So, who cares? I will again give your day in the sun here. I will agree, though, it doesn't seem like anything else is better for them besides the same three, which is just the Tyreek, the Kelce, and the Mahomes, where just like we talked about with the other receivers, they were fine. But bobbling the passes, it's just not the same thing as having it with those other dominant players.
Yeah, and like, I mean, they played a one-score game the week before also, you know? They played two close games. They just happened to win in week one. This week, you know, they had the fumble and that kind of bad luck, but not being able to recover in a way. But, you know, this isn't a team that I think is going to be blowing teams out like they've done previously. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of close games this year. I think it'd be more like of 11-win, you know, 12-win sort of team.
Either way, until somebody beats them in the playoffs, I'm not believing that they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's where, you know, other teams come and play. But yeah, I agree with that. I think they're still going to be the favorites, but and there's a chance they may not be a one seed. There's a chance they may not win the division. But yeah, they're for sure going to be a playoff team. Then once they get in, like, it really kind of doesn't matter after that, what happened before.
I hate that I'm going to switch up on you. But after watching the Dallas game, what's going on with our boy here?
I think he's been really good. He just had he had two bad interceptions.
But it's the turnovers in the red zone that are bothering me.
Yeah, he's thrown two so far, and that's been kind of the issue. And also, like, they've had so many penalties on offense too.
Well, yeah,
that Dallas game was just there was too many penalties in that game.
Well, yeah, I was even talking. It had nothing to do with who's getting called for what. It had everything to do with what is it? Are the refs wanting to be on TV the whole time?
Yeah, it was like, annoying.
It just got ridiculous where it was just so – I didn't even care what the call was or who it was for. Stop. Just stop at this point, man. They did it like five times in a row in about a five-minute period where it then made that five-minute period 20 minutes because they kept stopping the damn field. It was awful to watch, yeah. And I thought they were just trying to be celebrities.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And you know what? I don't want to watch it because of them. That's not what I want to do. It stops time. It makes the day go by slower. Just stop. I like the fastness. I like whenever it's kind of a questionable deal, which is why I said the first game against the Bucks, I wouldn't call that pass interference because I like that. I like where it's a little bit handsy, but it's
me
not.
Too.
Just you got to be able to have that type of action. Otherwise, you get the game that you got last week. And if you truly wanted, you could call a penalty every freaking play.
Yeah.
And that's what the refs were just playing for.
Well, and it's funny, too. Like, you see some of these holding calls, and you're like, I guess so. And then you see somebody pull and tackle somebody. It's like, that's as blaze as it gets, but they can't call that at all. I mean, I think offensively they've been fine. They had those two red zone turnovers against Washington, and then they only scored 20 points in that game because of it. And they had that red zone turnover against Dallas. So they moved the ball well. And then Diggs made that really great play break on that out route also to pick off the other pass there too. But I mean, I think I'm not worried about their offense at all. I'm not really worried about Herbert at all in that way either. I just think it's kind of like some bad luck to start the season.
Maybe. It just kind of, I don't know what's going on. That's where I'm at. I just feel like that he should be more. And also when it came to Dallas, man, you could have ran all over us. Eckler could have just destroyed us, and it just seemed like that they went away from it because Herbert Sherbert needs to be throwing the ball, which I do agree with. It's just Eckler would have destroyed us.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they had a little bit of pass rush, though, with Storm Norton out there. I liked how they used Micah Parsons, that defensive end, that worked out well. And that's kind of like the big like hole in this offensive line right now is you can always get pressure against the right tackle. And can Frank Clark do it this week? Will he do something? Will he do anything? How much is Chris Jones going to bring? I like putting him at defensive end too, but he gets a little lazy in the run game. And you're able to get some big plays around the edge there too whenever Chris Jones is playing over there. And the other thing too is like the worst part about Los Angeles' defense is their run game. Like their run defense has been bad to start the year off. And the Chargers, I mean, the Chiefs can't run the ball at all. They run always power. Like they're trying to run Baltimore's like gap read offense. And they can't do it at all. It's embarrassing.
I'm not going to go
spend all this money and run all these pull plays and nobody can pull. Nobody wants to hit somebody. We can't make a handoff in the backfield. It's awful.
Uh-huh.
Man, their run game was awful last week.
What would you have said if Claire did not fumble the ball?
I'd still say the same thing.
Maybe not, considering they probably would have won, so the anger would have been much less and the talking smack.
The only thing I would have said differently is I wouldn't have said, I would not have been able to say I'm happy for Lamar. That's the only thing that would have been different.
Oh,
I'd still be talking like how I'm talking now.
I don't think you would be this aggressive when it comes to it. But let's say I'll agree with you somewhat because every time they run the ball, I feel like they're going to not go anywhere. Versus whenever they're passing, I'm like, okay, this is the shot that they got. But it's when it comes to running the ball, I don't believe in them whatsoever. I don't think it's dangerous to your point where it just looks kind of like, are you just throwing that play out there just because you have to run the ball for TV or because it's a part of football?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not pretty to see. I kind of am on the line with you on that. It's because Patrick Mahomes is so damn good.
I think. And that's the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they have the three best players at each one of those positions.
Yeah.
And then everything else, it makes everything else a lot easier, but
makes everything else look like crap, which is why I always said that building the offensive line, as long as it's protecting Patrick, you're fine. And again,
and he got hit a little bit last week.
He did, but the Chiefs still should have won this game.
He was under pressure. I mean, like, he was under pressure. I mean, I think part of it, too, is like, kind of like, there's only so much utility you can get out of it. And their offensive line has been pretty good. It's good. It's not some lockdown incredible unit, though.
He threw that pick, though.
Yeah.
That pick was bad.
And that was him getting hit. And then also the other pick he threw, he couldn't put enough mustard on the ball because he was on the run, having to use some weird funky arm angle.
he still is the only one that I've seen that can do it. It's just a problem. The only one I really had a problem with was the one where he's going down and he tries to like flick the wrist.
Yeah.
And there's like two guys right there.
That was a Carson Wentz interception.
Yeah, that was so awful. Just go down and that would have been able to save something. So I do blame him for that. It's just in the end, Kansas City should have won.
That was a $3, you call it, Lubbock, Texas, Patrick Mahomes.
That's true. That would have been fun, though.
Yeah. So my pick, I'm going to Chargers, 31-30.
What's the point spread?
7 points, Chiefs.
Holy crap.
At home, I'm picking the Chargers.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to pick the Chargers. And that's just because of that point spread. If you let me not have any points, like point spread being like 3 or 4, I'll take Chiefs.
So what's your final score?
So my final score would be Chiefs 38, Chargers 34.
All right. I like it.
But it's still going with Chargers. Why I don't like it.
I'm going with the upset. I think something has to give here. You know what I mean? Like, this is the hangover team. They lost the Super Bowl the year before. The rest of their team's so bad. They're playing against a too high safety defense.
Chiefs losing 2 games in a row?
I'm ready for it.
You're ready? All right. 2 games in a row is a lot.
Let's do it.
It's a lot for this team. I don't think they're ready.
I'm ready for it. The next game we have here, the Washington football team, our football team, against my other football team, the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are 8.5-point favorites. Did you know that a dolphin killed Josh Allen in a previous life?
What does that even mean?
Josh Allen loves murdering the dolphins. He did again last week. He did twice last year. He loves murdering them dolphins.
Matt, is that... Here's the thing, man. Listen, talk about... If I'm going to discredit Herbert Sherbert a little bit here, he's also disappointed me with Allen. Like, what do you mean Josh Allen slaughtered the dolphin? You know, what do you mean? His stats aren't that great. I wasn't impressed by anything that he did. I wasn't blown away. This wasn't my Josh Allen MVP. This was nothing. This is a guy that escaped because his defense and because Miami just couldn't stop
turning
the ball.
I mean, it wasn't an escape. They won 35-0. It was called Tua got smashed, and they had a lead early, and he didn't have to throw the ball 45 times, which is a good thing.
He threw it 33 times, and was only 17 and 179 with the 2 TDs in 1 pick.
Yeah, they didn't have to run their full offense at all.
It was gross.
That's the point. It's like, why do that? They won 35-0. That's just called being a really good team, just waltzing through.
Matt, for the first 2 games, did Josh Allen look like how Josh Allen should look?
I mean, I think in this week he did. I thought he looked pretty good. The Pittsburgh thing, though, you keep talking about that. They lost because a punt got blocked, and the Steelers have a really good front seven. They had a top 5 defense last year.
That's why the Raiders beat them. It's because the Raiders are easily the best team right now.
That's a good point. And the Raiders scored 17 points against them.
No, didn't they score like 25?
They scored 26.
Oh!
The Steelers scored 17 points against them.
Yeah, I know. It's because the Steelers can't score anything with that type of offense.
I think Allen's fine. I'm not worried about it at all. I think one of the things that's interesting about Buffalo this year is that their 2019 defense is back. I think they're second in defensive DVOA to start the year. They held Pittsburgh that entire game until... You know, the third quarter, they had 1 touchdown drive. And again, they lost that game because of the punt block. And they shut out Miami last week. Crushed Tua. Their pass rush has been good. They have 8 sacks. They have 7 players with at least 1 sack. The only player with 2 sacks is Rousseau, their rookie defensive end from Miami. And they have 15 quarterback hits right now. And they're blitzing a lot. They're really getting after the quarterback. And Jacoby Brissett really, like, wished Andrew Luck never retired last week during that game against them, too.
Jacoby Brissett was doing what Jacoby Brissett does, which is called throw 5-yard passes when it's 3rd and 9. Because that's what you're supposed to do every single time, is not go for the first down. When it comes to the Buffalo Bills, this This game was okay. Again, I agree when it comes to this is back to the 2019 defense. This seems like the point. It's just, why does it seem like 2019 Josh Allen?
It isn't at all. It's not even close to being 2019 Josh Allen.
This is MVP Josh Allen.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's MVP Josh Allen just yet.
I wouldn't say he's top three MVP.
But the point is that they played two games. They played a really good Steelers front, and they played a Miami team where they didn't have to do a whole lot.
Exactly. But even with the things that you did, it still wasn't that impressive. Usually,
I think the Miami game was impressive.
You know what? I don't know what you're impressed by. There's nothing here to be impressed by.
They beat him 35-0. They crushed him with the blitz again. They have an overwhelming defense. Their run game actually works a little bit.
Talking about the overall team. I'm talking about Josh Allen.
Yeah, okay. Those are two separate things. Yeah, I wouldn't say like Josh Allen's playing at MVP level just yet. But the whole point is that they haven't. They're like, then last year they won 12 games entirely because of Josh Allen. Their defense wasn't that great. It got better towards the end of the year. Their run game was non-existent. The only reason why they had the season they had was because of Allen solely. And this year, they're like back to being a complete total football team. And those other question marks are different than what is with Allen. Like, I don't have any concerns about him like regressing this year, being bad this year, anything like that. I think it's more like wait until he has a better matchup, you know?
All I know is Allen better be showing something here pretty soon. Otherwise, we're going to be going back to me hating him and you defending him every 5 seconds.
Look where they got you last time.
What do you mean where they got me last time?
Got you nowhere.
Place I'm always, which is Kansas City in the Super Bowl.
Got you nowhere.
What do you mean? It always gets me somewhere.
Nah, not last time. But yeah, they're like a complete team right now. And Washington's going to be interesting because they have that same really great defensive front. The thing that's driving me crazy, though, about Washington's defense is they're playing so much zone coverage.
Man.
They're just finding holes in the zone over and over and over again. Just wide open. They run these high shells. The middle of the field's open. They're getting eaten up by dig routes over and over again. It's driving me crazy. Play man. Let your front four go after it. Play cover two man. Let your front four go after it and blitz occasionally.
Well, and for me, too, and listen, I love me some Heineke. I'll talk about him in a second here. But the reason why I'm really disappointed with him, it seemed like maybe I just feel like that the Chargers offense is a little bit of a stall right now, so I'm not going to give the Washington defense too much credit. But this is what you went into the season believing that this is top five defense status. They are going to be dominating where they just need a quarterback to not turn the ball over to be able to protect it, where then they're going to be able to just hold them to low scoring games. Against the Giants, it's like you were wanting Heineke to win that game for you because you did nothing, really. You got away with giving up plays, and I just didn't expect the Washington defense to be this way. I don't know. This is another kind of disappointment where I'm feeling reversed now. I was expecting this team to be dominant versus they are relying on Heineke to be the savior.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and it's frustrating because – if they didn't play in the NFC East, this wouldn't be happening. It's this damn division. It's this damn dirty division every year. It can never just be normal at all. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm not worried about the talent at all. Like, it's not like there's like a matchup that's toasting them or anything like that. I think their safety play has been a little off. Landon Collins hasn't done anything, and it's put Cameron Curl out of his element. Playing more free safety than strong safety, I think it's hurt them a little bit. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is they're just playing so much zone coverage, you know?
And I can kind of see that versus what you're saying is that the quarterbacks are being able to read the zone where they're not truly switching whatsoever to do anything different. And then they're just giving up big plays at the same time. I actually do blame the secondary. It's just, once again, the front seven, you and I going in this year, believing that it was going to be able to dominate the quarterback. They got owned by Danny Dimes.
But they didn't get owned by they didn't get owned by their offensive line though. Like, Jones is under pressure. You know what I mean? Like, he took some hits. Like, it wasn't like they didn't create any pass rush at all. Or they couldn't stop the run. Yeah, like they got beaten by some zone reads. They got beaten by that arc run play, and then they found holes in the zone coverage. You know, but it wasn't like their offensive line outplayed them at all. Their front was good last week.
I'm just surprised with, again, I expected after
expected murder in 10-point games, and that hasn't happened yet. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that.
So do you think that it will happen, though, is kind of what I'm falling back
to? I don't think this week.
Well, okay. In the future, do you think this defense is going to be able to switch into that, or is this what we're having to expect?
Yeah, I think so. I think the talent's overwhelming.
I agree, which is why I'm so disappointed. By the way, so now I'm going to talk about it. Why is Heinicke so good? Why is he so good?
It was funny because when we talked last week about like game-winning drives and just like being calm under pressure and just taking what the defense gives you instead of going for that big play right away, that's what Taylor Heinicke did last week. Just calm, just taking 7 yards, 12 yards, just marching up the field and everything else.
He just seems like the Washington quarterback that everybody wants. And also, he is the guy that the entire team wants to succeed, which I think is such a big deal. The only problem with the guy is that he gets injured all the time. And it's just him being able to stay healthy, where he has put on pounds this year in order to be able to try to counteract that. I really like watching him. Because it's not even the most impressive thing to be able to watch the passing or anything like that. It's just whenever he goes out there, you know he's probably going to die on the field to try to win the game, which is all you really want in a quarterback.
Yeah, we want more death. I mean, I think he played smart, though. You know, like, I didn't think he didn't take very many big hits at all. He just had that one mistake on the interception, you know, throwing off his back foot while being tackled. But that was it. I think he played a really smart game. And his arm looked a lot better, too. Like, week one, the arm was pretty loose. Like, he didn't have a whole lot of arm strength at all. He hit some, like, a little bit of laser. It was like a red laser dot, you know, instead of a full-blown laser. But he had some arm strength last week, which was surprising, too. And he just had that one miss, really, was all. But, yeah, I like this offense a lot. I like it more than I expected to going into the year. You know, it's weird. It's like, it's flipped. It's like, I like their offense a lot. Their defense has been, you know, kind of underwhelming, a little bit of a disappointment. But I think that's going to correct itself, you know, in the coming weeks.
I would hope so when it comes to defense, because I'm not going to really hope so considering they're in the same division. But for the sake of me being right, I hope their defense turns into that, because if it does, the offense with Heinicke is going to be just fine, where then they are going to be able to dominate the game. And also, I just want to state, I believe I was right about Heinicke all along. I believe I said that he should be starting, that he would be helping this team win games, that Fitzpatrick was a joke compared to him.
Well, we don't know what Fitzpatrick looks like yet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was an injury. That's a mulligan, you know?
I also want to say, McLaurin is really great to watch.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He is something special. And it makes me a little jelly to have that. I'd rather have that than Amari Cooper. Ooh.
Yeah, he's a real Andre Johnson so far to start his career.
Yes.
Playing with all these different quarterbacks and still be able to carry a passing offense on his own. They got Dyami Brown involved a little bit last week. Their outside zone game's been really good with Antonio Gibson still. I really like that Allen up they ran with McKissick. It's a fun offense, you know. I think like the individual like flashes from their defense are great, but yeah, like cohesively, they haven't fully put together just yet. But the talent there is too good. So pick-wise, this is a very hard game for me. My heart's in two separate halves, you know. But I'm going to go Buffalo 26-20. I'm going to pick Washington with the points.
What's the spread?
8.5 Buffalo.
What? Am I not allowed to pick this as my lock?
You can if you want.
Yeah, I would pick this as my lock.
I'm going to make sure I said that correctly. We'll double check real fast. I have 7.5 here at DraftKings.
I would still take that. Oh, my Lord. Okay, so I'm going to say Washington, Buffalo. I am actually going to give the win to Washington, not even just on points. I'm going to say Washington 28. I'm going to say Buffalo 25.
All right.
I don't believe in this Buffalo team right now.
Okay.
I need to see something.
All right. You just have a spoiled heart, but it's all right. God saves. He's there for everybody whenever they need it. You don't need to worry.
Listen, man, listen. I never believe in being able to give it to the same guy over and over again because I think that's cheap. I think Patrick Mahomes is probably the best thing to watch, and Tom Brady is the second best thing to watch right now. Why am I saying that these two guys who are – Matt, it's incredible to watch both of them. Lamar is a one-trick guy. I just – he bothers me because I still don't see any change. The other two, I just feel are unstoppable.
I don't know where this is coming from.
It means the moment they have the ball with a minute left, you know they're going to score. I can't say that for anybody else, but I can say it a positive for Mahomes and for Brady. That's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from at all. The next game we have here, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles. The Rams are at home, and they're 1.5-point underdogs. The Rams in the first 2 weeks of the year, they're still kind of like the Jared Goff team, except Stafford can hit the deep ball. Well, that's one thing that's different. And what I mean by that, like their spread passing attack, or they're having to like beat man coverage on third down, it really hasn't been that good so far. Like they're still winning because of their offensive scheme and structure, and they haven't been able to kind of like break, you know, past that wall they were at. Break past their same like 11 personnel structure with Stafford just yet. There's a lot of incompletions. They're kind of like stuck without having a third receiving option also. You know, it's Kupp and Woods, and that's pretty much it. But really, the only thing that's been different so far is just like Stafford's hit two deep shots. And that's been the difference between like him and Goff from the way their offenses looked, you know.
That's actually what I was going to ask you then. So do you think that the offense looks exactly the same so far as it did before? Or do you think that Stafford does bring a little something different to the team here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure does, because he's more accurate. He's smarter. He has a better arm. And again, he can throw the deep ball. But like, sure. It's still pretty much the Rams, though. And like, again, the thing I'm talking about is we were kind of discussing, like, can they play shotgun? Can they play a spread passing attack? Can they convert on third and long in those ways? And they haven't done it just yet. And there's still some like working out to do here, you know?
Well, I do agree, and that's kind of where I was going with it, where this team is still 2-0, where you could even put the faults on the offense, kind of the misses. They're just getting used to each other. Last year when it came to Brady and the Buccaneers, they were getting blown out by the Saints, where they was still just pretty much them getting used to each other. I think this is going to be very similar with Stafford, where this team is already 2-0. They're still able to make certain big plays, and yet they're not even as good as what they can be. So for me, that makes the Rams even a little bit deadlier. I don't know, last week was a little bit weird for me. I didn't think that they would struggle too much with the Colts. It just seemed like that either they took the foot off the gas or something was missing. I just didn't expect that game to be so close.
Yeah, but again, the Colts had two drives inside the 5-yard line, and they got 0 points.
Yeah.
They didn't stop them at all. Their offense was like, Kupp was incredible. They didn't get much from Woods at all. Really even without like a pass rush from Indy either. You know, there's just a lot of incompletions. Their passing offense really hasn't been all that great, you know? And it's still kind of that same like Rams offense that gets rolling that we're used to. And there hasn't been another level to it aside from the deep passing stuff. And Indy was a lot better at their cover 4 defense than they were against Seattle, where they made sure that Kari Willis wasn't trapped 1-on-1 against somebody. But also the Rams don't have like a really good deep threat at all either. They don't. It's like it's Tutu Atwell, and that's their deep threat.
Yeah, I'm not gonna really hang my hat on Tutu Atwell there. When it comes to anybody, I will say you're kind of right when it comes to the deep threat. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, you're not really seeing that big guy down the field
they can win deep, but it's created by the offense. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're gonna like beat somebody 1-on-1 on a vertical route. It's gonna be because they're running a slant, and then it's actually a sluggo, and the cornerback bit on it, and there's nobody back there at all because it's 3rd and 4, and they have 8 guys in the box. Like that's how they're typically created. Like those two deep throws in Chicago, that was because they isolated a safety. And they were able to isolate a safety who's standing still going against a full running receiver. And Stafford delivered 2 balls on that, you know?
Well, no, and I completely agree, where it just seems like that, at least with Stafford and the receivers only being able to get away with the breakaway downfield as if something happens after a slant at first. I just think that this team is going to be better, and I want you to admit something, because I'll even admit this too. Do you think Daryl Henderson is a little bit better than what we gave him credit for?
I always liked Daryl Henderson.
Well, wait, was it
I spent all preseason, I said, I don't understand why they don't like Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson's
like
awesome.
Henderson.
I love Daryl Henderson.
Okay, you were the fan. I thought we were in a boat together
on it. No, we were not together on this one. I love Daryl Henderson, and I was like, why are they training for Michelle? Henderson's great. I don't know why they hate him. He's great.
Well, you seem like you got the same productivity. And Daryl Henderson, though, he's just not doing bad. He's actually just looking really solid. And with the carries he's getting, he's making something out of it.
Yeah,
so,
he has good vision, that zone scheme. I like how, like, he doesn't look that fast either, but he's fast.
No.
He's fast, but he doesn't really look that fast.
It's like a Zeke thing for me where I wish Zeke had the burst afterwards, but he doesn't anymore. Where Daryl Henderson will get stopped by somebody, but then there's that extra boom behind it that he's able to just keep going. And he's impressed me. I'm going to take back a little bit of my doubt of him. I just feel like they're loving Sony Michel and him together.
Yeah, he got hurt with some rib cartilage. He may play this week. We don't know just yet. But yeah, I mean, he had a good game running the ball. Especially like he had a really good off tackle run. He was good near the red zone. He was able to kind of run forward and create, get some extra yards after contact too. I do think this is a bad matchup for the Rams, and it's for two reasons. One, they're not playing kind of the same cover four defense they had previously. They change it up a little bit now with Morris. And then the second thing is that they're a really horizontal offense. And you know, what's hard to do is to try to beat Tampa Bay sideline to sideline with the overall team speed that they have. And the last team that we saw like try to do that against them was Green Bay and their regular season matchup where they got pants, you know, by them. And so I don't really like this matchup for Los Angeles because of all their outside zone plays, all their jet sweeps, all their screen passes, all their wide receiver screen passes, all their drag routes. You know, it's not really a good matchup for this Rams offense against Tampa. And it's really like if the Rams win this game, it's because Stafford's hit, you know, two or three of those big deep shots. And he absolutely nailed them against the blitz. And they're single high. And he was able to hit, you know, those shots there. Because, like, overall, like, base, like, play-to-play matchups, this is a bad matchup for Los Angeles' offense.
Man, I don't know what you want me to say. I just went on my 10-minute spiel about how much I love Tom Brady. What do you think I'm going to say here? For me and what the Bucs are going to do to the Rams is domination. I feel like it's going to get ugly once again.
I like it.
Team. And it's just because after watching Dallas, and again, I'm a fan. I'm a little biased. After watching Dallas against Chargers, I just think the Dallas defense is the real freaking deal at this point. Where, and like, could just go away. I just feel like that the turnovers are great. Everything looks fantastic. While the Bucs just are so dominant in every aspect, I just feel like the Rams, because they're not consistent yet, are just going to be stepped on. I just think that it's going to be coming down hard, where it's going to be just like what the Bucs did last week. It's going to be another 40-20 type of game. And it's because I don't think the Rams are going to be able to do much against this team. And I think Tom Brady's going to dominate their defense.
Yeah, and like their defense really wasn't that good last week, you know?
Has it been that good? Has it been that good? And I thought it would be good. I even said that it would be good. And it's blown up in my face because the Rams' defense hasn't been that impressive.
Yeah, I mean, like, Donald had some really good reps against Glowinski, but he didn't, like, derail them at all. Demaryius Randall, Darius Williams gave up that one touchdown on a slant route. They don't really have the same depth they had anymore last year. Ramsey is just, like, playing one side of the field. He only got tested once at the interception. But, yeah, like, teams have moved the ball. Like, the Indy moved the ball on them last week, you know? And like Chicago doesn't really count at all because they're at the freak table, you know, with their offense and Jim Nagy and everything else. And so, yeah, I mean, it's still the Rams are kind of like what I thought they would be like. I just thought their like spread passing attack would be better. And I think that's what you have to do to be, you know, Tampa Bay right now. You can't run on them. You have to spread them out. You have to get them in one versus one matchups and attack their cornerbacks where you have matchup advantages. And the Rams have two wide receivers, and so they won't have the same. They won't have like the same ability that Dallas had in week one, you know?
But that's what I mean. I just, right now, when it comes to what the Bucs are doing to teams, Man, how many touchdowns is Tom Brady going to have here? Four?
I think four is good.
So
Brady's 44 years old, 65% completion percentage, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 7.6 yards an attempt. He's only taken 3 sacks also. It's absurd.
It doesn't make sense.
I think he's an alien. I think he's an android.
The moment it happened with Dallas at the end of the first half where Tom Brady threw that Hail Mary, I immediately go, what the hell is that? He's 44 years old, and he's just needing to take a step in order to bomb at 60 yards. What the hell is that? You're 44!
He may play until he's 50.
What is that? That doesn't make sense. Something is up. He's got to be an alien. It's the only thing.
His touchdown rate right now is 10.5%. Man. So one out of every 10 passes he throws is a touchdown.
And it's because he's used to all of these weapons, and all of the weapons are fantastic. It's funny because when a weapon does something bad, they just go in the doghouse. And they have it like 3 others that are going to be able to pick up the slack. I don't know who's going to beat this team because he's on a mission. And if he wins another, oh my God, the world, oh Lord.
It's funny too, because it's like they have O.J. Howard here and he's healthy and you don't even remember it at all. And they have like Scotty Miller and you don't think about Scotty Miller until he makes some deep touchdown catch. And they have Ronald Jones until he fumbles and they bring Fournette in and then he drops a pass and then it's Jones again. And they have a great offensive line. And their defense is, you know, absolutely disgusting. And all their cornerbacks are less than 26 years old, and they're all really fast, too. But, yeah, I mean, they're the best team. Like, it's them and then everybody else right now.
Yeah, I would completely agree. Because to your point, at least with Kansas City, right now, nobody would be able to beat the Bucs. And it's not even close.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it'd be another total annihilation. The only team that stands a chance, the Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys, after they have 4 turnovers.
The Dallas Cowboys still stand a chance.
After they have 4 turnovers.
Dallas Cowboys. Did you hear me? Dallas.
Yeah. After 4 turnovers. So I wanted to pick Los Angeles, and I like actually thought about it. I was like, yeah, it's a bad matchup for them. So I'm going the Bucs 28, the Rams 24.
Oh, no, man. Wait, what's the point spread?
1.5.
What?
Tampa on the road. People love the Rams. Like, people are like, Rams Super Bowl.
I'm that. I think that they'll be able to get better. Right now, in week 3, after seeing that, no. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'll be nice. 38, the Rams, 25.
I like it. There's some good football this weekend.
Yeah.
The last game we have here, Monday night, Philadelphia and Dallas. Yeah, I want to apologize, I guess, for the Eagles. Like, there's a lot of knowns here with their coaching staff and with Jalen Hurts also. I love watching them, though. They have a smart offense. They have a really efficient passing attack. Hurts is, you know, a dynamic athlete. And the other thing, too, it's like their offensive line's just been really good to start the year. They don't run block as well. Like, Brandon Brooks tore his pec, but he wasn't really, like, had the same level of tenacity at the second level. To start the year, but they pass protect so well that he has like 5-6 seconds. And I think that's vital for Hurts, where he's starting, you know, in his second year, and it just gives him like more of a margin of error for his development. Like, he doesn't have to see the game right away. He can slowly see and watch plays develop. And I think they've just been fantastic to start the year so far. Like, I've had a lot of fun watching Philadelphia.
I will give you this. I have no idea why I've heard any type of reports coming into the season about doubts of Jalen Hurts. Why does Jalen Hurts look so good? I mean, even with the deep passes and everything, it looks better than what
that pass to Cephas was ridiculous.
It just seems like that you actually have something in the guy where he is a true threat, where he is making things happen with nobodies at this point, besides Devontae Smith, obviously. But I mean,
and Rager's a first round pick, and Ortega Whiteside's a second round pick, but he's never been good.
I was gonna say Whiteside, I'm not gonna give.
He blocks sometimes. Goddard's all right.
Goddard's okay. Ertz
exists.
Does he? Are you sure? I only know he's on the team because their center dyed his hair because of it.
Yeah, you just see him sometimes out there.
Only sometimes. I think that the Eagles actually have a really solid team, which is why they worry me in this division. It just, once again, the NFC East, like what I told you at the beginning of the year, is the bloodbath.
No, this, it's stupid.
This is where the gladiators
no,
fight.
No, no, no.
This is where domination happens.
It's a pool noodle fight.
A pool noodle fight?
Yeah, it's the death. It's a pool noodle fight to the death.
It's a dangerous pool noodle fight where people can drown.
And the pool's 3 feet deep.
Still, somebody could hold somebody under because that's what we do. We choke them out.
That's why you have the noodle, though, to keep you floating.
Yeah, you choke them out with the noodle, so then they're not floating. Instead, they're under because you're holding them under because that's what you do in the NFC East. You battle until the end. This division, who would have thought? Oh, this guy thought. And now with the Eagles, them actually being something that I truly never expected, where their defense is even able to make plays. I get that Jimmy G is so bad and everything, but they did put on a whooping when it came to Atlanta. And that was still kind of shocking.
Well, that was what we talked about this year, too. That they're kind of weird, where they don't have linebackers. They don't have a secondary really at all. And it's built around having a really great offensive line, defensive line. They're healthy right now, but they're older. They already lost Brandon Graham. They already lost Brandon Brooks as well, too. The left side of their offensive line is a little bit younger, at least. And they can deal with losing Brandon Graham because Sweat's been really good. Barnett's good. They have Ryan Kerrigan there, too. So they can handle that. Hassan Ridgeway's been a murderer this year, also. And they have Hargrave and they have Cox. And they can lose some defensive linemen, but they really can't lose another offensive lineman. Because if they lose another one, now we start seeing Nate Herbig. And they lose another one, and Lane Johnson has a hamstring. And then it can all kind of go to hell. Now Hurts doesn't get the ball out in time. Hurts is, I hold the ball for 12 seconds until something like, he has to see it. He doesn't really throw it anticipation. He sees it, throws it. And so that's kind of a concern for Philadelphia long term. But for now, they're fun to watch. Sirianni's done a really good job. They moved the ball pretty well against San Francisco. They had that fourth down stop on the goal line that took some points off the board from them as well too. They're fun, and the thing about them about this game is nobody's really stressed their secondary at all. You mentioned Garoppolo, but even Atlanta did not throw any intermediate passes in that game at all. Ryan was under duress, but their offense really wasn't built around it. And nobody's really attacked their secondary yet. And the Dallas have a four wide receiver attack. And Jarwin and Schultz have been really good too. Wilson was awesome last week. This is finally a team I think is going to poke the holes in the Philadelphia Eagles secondary that Atlanta didn't and San Francisco did in the previous 2 weeks.
I don't know what you want me to say besides I'm in love with what I'm watching right now. I don't know what this team is. I don't know where they came from, but this seems like a dominant team that knows what they're doing at all times. The biggest surprise, besides for me, Dak Prescott, I'm going to happily admit, I'm not minding whatsoever. The only thing that's bothering me, and that's just because I think he may be done, is Zeke. And I think he's going to have to turn into some type of...
He's kind of in his own head, too, right now.
I think he's going to have to be some type of Marion Barbarian. And the reason why it's going to always be in his head at the same time, Matt, what do you do when you see what Pollard is? Pollard is just the best thing to be able to watch because the hole, versus one over the other, if a hole is open, Zeke is going to get 4 to 6 yards. If a hole is open for Pollard, he's going to get 10 to 15. If not, he's gone. And that's where I think the main difference is. Zeke, I get that he lost the weight and he looks fantastic. It's just there's no breakaways here. There's no boost.
They look entirely different. Zeke can't make the same runs outside of the tackles that Pollard can't. But, it still works, though. I know you disagree with this, but it's really good to have two good running backs. It's good to make sure they stay fresh, and that's part of it, too.
Cleveland says you're right. I can never disagree with that after seeing Cleveland. Sure, they didn't use
Hunter. And the Texans, David Johnson, Mark Ingram, Rex Burkhead, Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay's averaging 1.7 yards a carry right now.
Is that good?
I think it may actually be 1.2.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
But yes, I will say I don't mind the double back. The problem is I think the main back should be Pollard. And that's where I'm a little disappointed on what I'm seeing, not just because I just don't think you have it anymore. Dak, to me, has easily been the most impressive. Where he's made some mistakes, I like where he's at. I like what he's doing, because especially with the two-minute offense, he is a guy where now I feel like he's going to be able to score the ball.
Yeah.
Because he knows what to be able to do. And that's what I've always wanted just out of the quarterback, is like what they did with the kick. Greg the Leg, I don't know if he just needed a first half of a football game to just warm up or some crap, but all of a sudden he's able to make those kicks where you're able to trust him on making a 50-plus yarder. And, I mean, I just enjoy this team because it's winning these type of games versus in the past, everybody laughed because we'd always lose these type of games.
Well, it's only been one. You're 1-1 in these type of games so far. It doesn't matter. You're still only 1-1 in them. Don't get all cocky.
So after the Bucks,
you're way too cocky right now.
No. Everybody thought after the Bucks game that this is just the same old Dallas. They just look good for that one.
It's like you haven't lived your own life the last 10 years.
Oh my God.
You've lost your damn mind.
Sherbert, they beat him, man.
You've lost your damn mind. It's gone.
Listen, they won. Okay, it's fine. They're so good right now. I'm loving every minute of this.
I will say this. I think Kellen Moore's done a really good job so far this year.
I think everyone has done really good so far.
Like open throws, the run game is creative. Defense, the screen game is creative. Really good, like, creating one versus one matchups. Like, I really like that drive they had against Los Angeles where CeeDee Lamb had, like, four first downs in a row, and they put him at running back. They threw him a screen pass. Yeah, he was able to get his feet in on a sideline throw, too. I think he's just been, and they've used motion really well. You know, Dak doesn't have like the full arm at all. The one time he tried to zip it, he threw that interception where it was overthrown and went right to Samuel, you know? And so, but I think Moore's done a really good job.
No, I'm not going to say he's done that, because I would still question some of the times whenever he runs the ball on like a 3rd and 9, for example. And I'm just like, what the hell are you doing? But otherwise, I'm going to agree overall. I've actually been impressed more with the defense, though, because I never expected this.
I don't think the defense has been that good, though. They've had turnover luck.
Man, that's what I mean.
Houston's defense hasn't been good, but they forced 5 turnovers in the first 6 quarters.
I want the dude, at least the turnovers give me something to stop.
If you have 30 turnovers, this is going to be a good defense. But I think play-by-play, it isn't a good defense yet.
Okay, you know what? I just don't like the negativity that you're trying to spill out and trying to ruin my drive.
I'm sorry.
No. I don't like it just because you're over there depressed saying that you have to watch, or I'm sorry, write game previews for a 1-8 Texans.
No, I was saying I don't think I'm gonna spend all week writing a game preview for a 1-8 Texan team.
This is insane. You're trying to take your anger out on me just because my team is good this year. And
I had no preconceived perception that this is me a good Texans team. I feel nothing. Feel zero, except when Ty Guy was out there.
You said they were on the Super Bowl last week.
Well, that was because Ty Guy, but I feel nothing again now.
Great. I'm so glad that you changed.
I did change. Last week was funny because that was a perfect Amari Cooper game. He had big week 1. He's on the road. It's like 3 catches, 30 yards.
He said he was injured. Oh, my God. When I saw that, I immediately wanted to text you because the moment
when he got hit? He dropped that pass in the red zone.
He made a big catch. He was like, oh, my God, you have a tummy ache all of a sudden? It's just the same crap with Amari, and that's why I say I would love McLaurin. Give me McLaurin over Amari Cooper any day.
I love Dalton Schultz, though. He's been awesome. And Jarwin's been pretty good, too. And they, like, that Los Angeles team, they can't stop the run. And Dallas did a really good job blocking the second level, moving the first level against them. They made a lot of just, like, good run blocks. Like, Martin was great last week. Baez was pretty good. And Terrence Steele backing up Lael Collins. He was good last week. Steele was good.
all backups were good. Yeah. I just could not believe what I was watching when it came to Dallas having all those injuries. Going into the game, everybody was laughing, and it didn't seem like that at face, which finally, it was like next man up where it truly meant that, where the backups were able to produce. And that's something that Dallas hasn't had in a long time.
Yeah, and it's like important to remember that young players tend to get better, and Terrence Steele is a guy who's like that. Like, he was bad last year, but young players usually get better, and he's been better so far this year. I also really enjoyed Micah Parsons playing defensive end. He got Storm Norton probably like four or five times on some good pass rush moves.
Micah Parsons is fantastic, and I knew that he was going to be the one of the best, if not the best, rookie defensive player of the season. And I just, he's something special to watch because somehow he's always involved when it comes to the ball and a tackle being made. I love it, and he just seems smarter than the other linebackers that we have.
Well, he didn't even play linebacker very much last week, too. He played defensive end. But I think Smith had a good game last week, though.
Jalen didn't do too bad, but it's also because he knows that he's about to lose it.
I really liked Jalen last week, though. He was running all over the field. He was making tackles. I don't like Van Der Esch anymore, though. You can't do the wolf howl if you played one game in the last 2 years, you know? You can't wolf howl anymore.
But he played like four plays.
Yeah, he had that sack cleaning up, Herbert escaping the pocket, and he wolf howled. You can't wolf howl anymore.
You can always wolf howl.
Nope.
There's wolf howl in the
wolf
house.
Wolf howl days are gone.
Yeah, probably. I completely agree. And Mike Parsons is so good. I love him so much to watch. He's so young, and it's so fun to just – he is – he doesn't even look big. That's where it's so fun to watch for me. He just doesn't seem big, but yet every single – oh, tackles be made. It's Parsons. Where'd he come from? Where do you go? He's always involved, and that's what I just didn't expect whenever they drafted him, because I always wanted the corner. Finally, us missing on something actually ended up working out.
I really like that. Curse was really good last week also.
They've all been
Curse was really good. And Malik Hooker made a play. I forgot that he went to Dallas. That was cute. You know, I mean, there's a little bit of talent there. It's like deeper. They don't have the same little top-end talent.
Yes.
And I'm excited for Nair Walker and Gregor are back again, because Walker is really good against Tampa, and if they can stay healthy enough until he gets there, maybe this is like the 18th best defense instead of a defense that relies completely on turnovers. So I'm gonna make my pick here. I originally had Dallas 30, Philadelphia 20, but you're way too cocky. You've lost your mind. I've changed it. I'm going Philly 30, Dallas 20. You've lost it. You are way too excited right now.
Why are you doing this to me?
I know this story. We've been going through this same thing for the last 12 years. It never changes.
Listen. You're trying to bring me down right now. What's the point spread? Because I picked against them last week and they won. So I may
three,
want to do
3.5-point favorites for Dallas at home.
Oh, God. I don't want to do that. All right. I'm going to pick them. And I think I'm going to jinx them. I can't believe you said I'm too cocky right now.
You've lost it.
I'm going to pick the Cowboys 31, the Philadelphia Eagles 23. Can't believe you think I lost it, man.
You have. It's very, like, worrisome. You're going to be so sad next week.
All I know is my team looks so dominant.
This is how you pick Cowboys games. Whenever they feel terrible about their team, you pick them to win. And then whenever they feel off about their team, or whenever they feel good about their team, you pick them to lose.
Listen, I am just here, all right? I'm giving my opinion on this. And also, if they were to lose this week after me picking them the first time, I probably will pick them to lose for the rest of the year.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I think that's what you need to do. So,
I think so.
We'll do our locks of the week. My lock of the week is Pittsburgh +3 or 3-point favorites against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Who are the Broncos playing?
They're playing the Jets.
All right. What's the point spread?
I think it's 10.5.
All right. If it's 10.5, I'm taking that one as my lock.
It is 10.5.
I'm taking that. I want to have some fun.
It's a bad one to pick.
It's not a bad one to pick.
Teddy Bridgewater has the chain now.
10.5.
Is this your upset or is this your lock? The lock's supposed to be a favorite you're picking to cover.
All right, well then, switch it for me. Pick that as my under. And when it comes to the lock, what are the Giants?
The Giants are 3-point favorites against Atlanta. Yeah.
You know what? I'm taking that as my lock. After what Philly did against Atlanta, that's going to be my lock here.
Yeah. That was kind of a weird game.
Well, I just feel like that when it comes to...
They were just awful. It's like that. Yeah. It's funny because Arthur Smith has always been so good in the red zone. And Atlanta, all their red zone juju wasn't there at all. They were terrible in the red zone.
They look really... And the thing is, at least with Texans... Texans look more of a decent team than what the Falcons have provided.
Ugh. Yeah, with Tyrod. So my lock is Pittsburgh 3-point favorites. My sleeper, New Orleans, Jameis Winston, 3-point underdogs against New England. Last week wasn't Jameis's fault.
I watched
the video. He didn't have open receivers.
Well,
they couldn't run the ball. The blitzes got to him, and they couldn't use Kamara in the passing game because he had a pass protect every single time.
Here's the thing. I think you and I, we believed, even though you just always said it every year, it's Jaquan Smith, blah, blah, blah.
They had zero receivers. It was bad last week.
I think Jameis needs a guy now. I think Jameis is good enough where you can't just let him just throw it to anybody because the receivers he has aren't that good.
Yeah.
Gotta give him
you need something.
Yeah, give him one and then come talk to me if that guy's not getting the targets. It's just right now, he's got nobody that's your go-to.
And their play calling was kind of crappy last week, too.
I agree. Sean Payne sometimes, though, gets in his own head.
Yeah, and he said so, too. It's like, the offense is my fault last week. Yeah. I like that about him. So to recap... I have Los Angeles 31-30. You have Kansas City 38-34, but you're picking Los Angeles because they're 7-point underdogs. Washington, Buffalo. I have Buffalo 26-20. You have Washington 28-25. The Bills are 7.5-point favorites at home. Tampa Bay on the road against Los Angeles. The Bucks are 1.5-point favorites. I have Tampa Bay 28-24. You have Tampa Bay 38-25. Philly, Dallas. I have Philly 30-20, you have Dallas, 31-23. The Cowboys are 3.5-point favorites at home. And then my lock, Pittsburgh, 3-point favorites. My sleeper, New Orleans, 3-point underdogs. Your lock, Giants, 3-point favorites. Your sleeper, the Jets, at 10.5. Ready to feel Teddy Bridgewater's wrath.
Oh, my God. 10.5, dude? Oh, my God. I can't wait for the 10-point victory from Teddy.
I think Wilson's going to throw 7 interceptions.
No, he already did. No. It's going to get out of his head. Corey Davis all day, baby. 8 receptions, 130 yards, 2 TDs is what's going to happen against Denver.
I'm glad you feel that way. Thank you. So we did a longer one because you don't have a Texans game to watch on Sunday. And so you're probably more invested into the over on NFL. And so that's what we gave to you this week. I may do a show on Sunday where I watch the film and kind of talk you through what I saw this week. But we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm kind of a busy person.
We'll see what I can do. Keep writing the previews. That's all people want.
I'm about to send it right to you.
Do it now.
But until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Balvard Radio. And thank you for being on tonight, Taylor. And Taylor, you know who the Texans play next week?
Who? Oh.
The Buffalo Bills, baby.
Josh Allen kind of sucks.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. I'm done with you.
Never.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the duck.